Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Swiftcast. If you're a fan of Taylor, go ahead and hit the subscribe button on iTunes or your podcast app, and it will automatically download our episodes for you each week. We have a lot of exciting episodes and guests as Reputation rolls out, so you'll only be doing yourself a favor by subscribing. Also, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Tumblr at Swiftcast13, or you can find all of our episodes and social media at our website, swiftcast13.com. Enjoy the show. Baby, then you love me better. You love me, better. There's been times I gave myself to someone else, to someone lesser than. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 226 of Swiftcast. This is Nate.
And Ashley.
We have such an exciting episode lined up for you guys today. I can't even believe it.
So about a week ago, which I think we mentioned on our last episode, Taylor put out a Spotify playlist. And this is the first time she's done something like this. She did post a playlist on Tumblr in the past, but this was the first time she's actually done it on a streaming platform. And it was about 70 songs that she's loving right now. And it was such a great, diverse mix.
Absolutely. I did not find a single song on that playlist that I didn't thoroughly enjoy. It was awesome.
And as you guys know, one thing we always try and do on our show is bring you interesting guests so that you can hear about different artists and different perspectives from the music industry. So we knew that we had to try and get as many of these people on the show as possible for you.
And as luck would have it, we were able to interview James Blunt for the episode today.
And if you don't know, James has been opening for Ed Sheeran on the North American leg of the Divide Tour. It's been going on for a few months, and these were the last North American shows in Nashville this weekend.
And James Blunt's team and management, they were just so incredibly gracious. They allowed Ashley and I to actually go backstage before the final show and interview James and ask him everything. Ask him about Taylor, ask him about Ed, a little bit about Ryan Tedder even. It was really just a fantastic interview. I'm so glad that they were able to accommodate us for it.
And I would say if you haven't seen him, go do so. The Divide Tour, like we said, just ended. But for any fans who might be in Europe, he's going to be starting a tour there next week. And he is just so entertaining, such a great musician. Really can't say enough great things about him.
I think in one word for me, I would describe him as witty. He was just such a funny guy.
Yeah, it's like you never knew what was going to come out of his mouth next.
That is for sure.
As I'm sure you'll see when we get into this interview.
Well, without further ado, here is James Blunt.
We are so excited to be here with James Blunt right now. How's it going?
Yeah, good. It's nice to have you here backstage.
Well, it's nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, sweet. Well, I've read about it online, so it's nice to meet guys in person.
Yes.
And this is not just any show, this is the last show of the North American arena leg of the Divide Tour.
Yeah, I mean, I've been on Ed Sheeran's Divide Tour now for 3.5 months around North America. I'm his whipping boy.
His whipping boy.
where I get up on stage for 40 minutes before him, which is absolutely awesome. I've had the time of my life. I finish some 2 hours ahead of him, so I'm already at the after party 2 hours before him.
That's definitely a plus.
Yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. And, you know, he's a sweet man. He's a really nice guy. We get on incredibly well. And that really filters through his team. So his crew and who he works with on this tour have looked after me and my crew incredibly well. And we've just had a blast here in the States.
Well, as soon as Taylor put out her Spotify playlist, which was about a week ago, we thought, hey, we have to get some of these people on our show so that our listeners can learn more. And how cool that one of them is on tour with Taylor's best friend. It seemed perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I thought I was Ed's best friend, but maybe those two here too. Yeah, well, actually, Ed and I know each other really because we're in the same management team. Elton John set up the management firm. It's called Rocket Music, and I was on the books, and they got Ed in on the books, and my manager at that time is now his manager, and they said, come on, let's get him on some kind of North American tour for 3 months. Let's see who will look after him and take him on tour. And that was Taylor. So he's done, his kind of legwork with Taylor. I'm doing my legwork with him this time around.
Yeah, it's kind of cool how it goes in a cycle like that sometimes.
Yeah, and for me, these are the most amazing opportunities because I'm known in the States for one song, which came out a long time ago called You're Beautiful.
Of course, everybody knows that one.
Yeah,
I
heard it once. And, and the guys in Ed's audience, they might know that song. They might have been told by their dad not to like that song.
Wow.
Because it was played a lot on the radio. And so that's pretty much all they know. And so I'm getting up and I'm just, playing new stuff. And my job is just to win them over if I can.
And so the song that Taylor actually put on the playlist, Love Me Better, tell us a little more specifically about that song.
Yeah, I wrote it in a hotel room in London. And actually someone came and banged on the door halfway through and asked me to shut up. I wrote it with a guy called Ryan Tedder, who's the lead singer of One Republic. And he and I are friends and we write a lot and record together a lot. And yeah, it was just kind of, I thought, it's going to be the first song on my album, and I want to kind of make a statement. Well, how do you start off a fifth album and say the things you kind of need to say, or at least what I would need to say? And so it starts off by saying people say the meanest things. I've been called a dick. I've been called so many things.
I love that line, by the way.
And yeah, it's not the prettiest line to start an album with. But
it's a very honest line that I think kind of grabs your attention.
And it catches you, right.
And totally. And I think it's something that Taylor would totally understand, is that, once your head is above the parapet, you kind of get shot at a fair whack. Mm-hmm. And it's a strange place of the aggressive criticism that some people in the public eye can get. Because if you don't like their music, you don't have to bang on about it so much. You could just listen to something else. But some people get quite fervent in their in the bile that they chuck online. And so the song really is about laughing at that, which is something I do on Twitter as well. I kind of just laugh at the fact that we should take this kind of aggressive negativity seriously. And it's something I discuss with Ed a lot.
He shot up the charts so quickly and then I think had to deal with the new level of fame that was so abrupt for him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a lot of, he's put a lot of work in to get there, but a lot of criticism comes with it. And he and I discuss it. And I think it's funny how sometimes you can take it to heart, these kind of things. And it goes for everyone. You take these things to heart. And at the end of the day, it's playing to between, 10 and 20,000 people every night. Sometimes actually 70,000 people a night. Wow. When he's playing stadiums. And yet it's really easy to focus on the 5 negative tweets that you might, have received right. that day online. Those 5, to compare 5 negative tweets to 70,000 people who actually made an effort and good money that they spent on tickets and queued up outside the venue in the rain or traveled a distance and booked hotels. They spent time, energy, effort, money, and yet still were drawn to these 5 slightly lonely people who wrote something negative online. And I think it's probably worth remembering that they're probably at home with the curtains closed and their trousers around their ankles and not worth taking seriously. We should laugh at ourselves. And so, that's what the song starts off saying. I can get a little bit of negativity, a bit of grief over perhaps a big song. But everyone's chasing that big song, really. You
that's right.
For it. And so then there's, the lines carry on. It says, saw you standing outside a bar. Would have said you're beautiful, but I've used that line before.
We laughed at that.
So I'm just kind of laughing about, about the good things enjoying the good things and laughing at the bad things.
Set the scene for our listeners. Where were you when you first heard that Taylor included it on her Spotify list, that she liked the song, she was promoting it?
Well, it was only a few days ago, really. So it was on this tour. I think it probably just came up on a Google alert saying it's about some kind of article. I was a bit confused. Actually, no, it was on Twitter. I definitely saw it on their feed of people coming in. I think I looked down the list initially and couldn't see it on there either, so I thought it was a mistake.
Well, I wanted to go back to, you mentioned working with Ryan Tedder. We're huge fans of his, both from One Republic, and he's done so much work with Taylor. What is he like just sitting down, writing with, and creating music?
I would say he is manic.
Manic, I like that.
Yeah.
He never stops working.
He's a maniac, and he's a maniac in many ways, because he has so many ideas. And it is such a pleasure and joy to work with someone so enthused by what he does, so enthused by music, so enthralled to work, you know, with someone like me and really kind of chase the directions that I'm excited to go in. Whereas a record company will always say, hey, let's go in the safe direction and let's do this. Because you know what, your audience liked that song, so we've got to just try and make it the next song sound something similar. And that's really boring. Mm-hmm. And sure, it might sell records, but it also ends in a faster death of your passion for music. And so, yeah, so when I would send two ideas to the record company and they'd say, please do the safe one, it sounds like David Gray or Damien Rice or whatever you've done before, James. And the other one, no, it's just too left of field. I'd play it to Ryan and he'd say, come on, get on a plane, come and meet me. I know which one you want to do and I want to do it too. Mm-hmm. And so that's, for me, why on this album I have some awesome, really different, diverse songs that you wouldn't expect from me. You'd expect me to write these weepy songs on a guitar about our poor old me. And instead, these songs are full of excitement and full of life, and that's what Ryan allows me to do.
Well, one song that came out recently also was Okay. And what I really love about that song is it has sort of an EDM vibe almost to it, which I wasn't expecting, but it was definitely a great surprise.
Yeah, I mean, I live in Ibiza, which is obviously the dance capital of the world, really. And it's funny, the song I wrote, I wrote over 100 songs for this album. It's called The After Love. I really wanted to make something special for my fifth album. And I went away for 2 years to make it. And I wrote over 100 songs. And one of them was this song called Okay. And I thought, it's kind of okay. It's not that much. And I had a big fight with the record label. They loved it, and I didn't really enjoy it so much. So after recording it and mixing it, I said, stuff it. I'm not going to put it on the album. And I let it go. And then I bumped into a friend of mine in Ibiza, a German DJ called Robin Schultz. And he said, I heard your song. The record label played it to me. And I've remixed it, and we're releasing it as a single. And lo and behold, it's a smash hit throughout.
Yeah.
You know, his country, Germany, top of the charts, France, Spain, Italy, Switzerland, art. And anyway, you can't escape the bloody song. It's everywhere, over the radio. And now, amusingly, it's actually my lead single here in the States. It's not even on my album. and it's a lead single here. And actually, just because he had remixed it, I just then went back and revisited the song and found, you know, the heart in what I wrote in the first place.
Well, it's great when you can find those collaborators, kind of like what you were saying with Ryan, that challenge you and can make you see songs in different ways and give them new life like that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's what collaboration is so good for in the music business. It's weird because, you know, read newspapers and you think that all musicians are competing with each other, because that's the way record companies love it to be. And the press loves any kind of fight in any walk of life, don't they? And I suppose record labels want that fight and that competition because they're trying to talk about the charts. The charts is designed just to be a competition. You go, oh, that's top of the charts, I must buy it. It's just to boost sales. But as a musician, actually, it's not about competition at all. It's about collaboration, you know. And I've written with Ed Sheeran a bunch, and their songs are beautiful. And without working with him or Ryan or the other many incredible musicians I've worked with along the way, I just probably reproduce the same four chords. And so it's really nice to have an input and different ideas, and it just twists and turns in different directions that it pushes you in.
So what is it exactly? You mentioned songwriting with Ed. Obviously, you have a song with him, Make You Better, that you guys wrote. Working with Ed, what is the songwriting process like? Ed is a creative individual. You as a creative individual. How do you
sort of mold both of your writing styles and personalities together?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite challenging working with him, if I'm honest, because he's a super fast writer, and you have to kind of try and keep up. Sometimes I felt like I was his secretary. But, you know, what we did is we went away on a skiing holiday, which is a pretty cool thing to do as a writing session. We skied in the day. I taught him how to ski in the day.
That's fantastic.
And at night we wrote songs. And the one we wrote Make Me Better is about my family. He said, come on, let's write about your family. I'm a really private person. And so I do write personal songs, but I don't really point out who they're about. I kind of try and keep them more ambiguous. And he's quite a direct writer in his lyrics. And so it's a really direct song in that way. And I suppose that was its challenge in many ways there was no hiding behind anything.
And we will be right back with more of our interview with James Blunt. Well, one thing I wanted to also ask you about that we're interested to get different takes on is Taylor is leading up to the album Reputation. I was wondering if you've heard Look What You Made Me Do and Ready For It and what you think about this new direction that she's taking her music in.
Yeah, I've heard the first single and it's really exciting. You know, I think she's a person who's reinvented herself over the years and has always done so incredibly well and has always then opened up a bigger market to herself and a bigger audience to herself.
Do you feel that artists need to do that in order to stay ahead, kind of reinvent themselves?
You know what? Not everyone, no. Mm-hmm. You know, Guns N' Roses, you kind of want them to stick to what they do best. AC/DC, you want them to stick to what they do. But I think perhaps in the pop world,
then
sounds and sonics change, production methods change, audiences change and grow older. And I think then you have to shift and change with them.
And so, going back to this tour that we're on, which we're lucky to be here on the last night of, what has been your most memorable moment so far on this tour with Ed?
Well, we had a pretty good after party last night.
that was Nashville night one.
That was really to celebrate the end of the tour because we're all flying off early tomorrow. After sort of 3 a.m., I don't remember much of it.
Wow.
Well, I was wondering also if on this tour people play any pranks on each other because Ed definitely seems like a prankster.
You know, we've definitely haven't taken it seriously. It's been a blast. We've had great fun. I think most nights we've probably ended up in Hooters. in fact, we've bought a lot of the uniforms just for ourselves to wear at home. I look really good in a Hooters outfit.
That's awesome.
So speaking of next week, so you're starting your international tour. If you could tell some of our listeners about that, because you're starting, I mean, you're going all over the world.
Yeah, totally. I think it starts in 5 days or something like that. And I kick off in Germany. 28 dates in Germany, or 22 dates in Germany, then around the rest of Europe, UK, South America, Australia, Asia. Then we're talking about coming to the States again, and Canada, hopefully, see if I'm invited back or not. I'm basically on the road now for 18 months. I'm afraid I've used North America here as my rehearsal time. So I hope you guys don't feel too used.
Which is great.
I think we're okay being the guinea pigs.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Are there any specific countries or venues in other countries that you're really excited to finally get to or revisit?
A mass of them, really. We have a blast in so many of them. You know, anyone with Latin blood makes for an amazing audience.
All
if you're in Italy, it's going to be awesome. If you're in anywhere in South America, it's going to be amazing. We have loads of mates in Australia, so it's always a pleasure to get down there and see them. If I can ever get to somewhere like Lebanon, Beirut, it's probably the best place in the world. But you know what? It's just going to new places and seeing new places or going back to different places. It makes it exciting. I'm playing the same songs every night, it's the audience that make it different and entertaining.
Well, we opened it up on Twitter, and one of our listeners had a great question that I thought was really interesting. Dan asked, "Since you used to write an advice column years ago, is there any advice that you would give to Ed, whether solicited or not?"
My advice column was definitely only a piss take. it was not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it was pretty
Or ever followed through. You know what? I don't think I'm a person to advise Ed. He seems to be doing pretty well with that anyway.
That's so true.
For me, at least.
Well, do you want to remind our listeners where they can find you on social media and all of your tour information?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my name is James Blunt, so it's pretty easy to find. I'm on at James Blunt, whether it be Instagram or Twitter, jamesblunt.com, online, or just come and find me on a concert on a world tour in a country and a city near you, starting in 5 days.
We'd love to wrap up with just some super rapid-fire Q&A, just for people to get to know those little random things about you, if you don't mind.
First word, impulse answer, just whatever you got. Okay. Last show watched on Netflix.
Ooh, I don't watch Netflix, so I'm sorry.
Oh, bummer. Last show watched in general. TV show.
I kind of watch the news.
Okay.
That's the biggest horror movie you need to watch, Netflix, isn't it?
Do you have any hidden talents?
I have a pilot's license.
Wow. Yeah. Fantastic.
I can drive a tank because I used to be in the army.
Oh, that's crazy.
I kind of have licenses. I have a motorbike and stuff like that. That'll do.
Your favorite album as a child or growing up?
Probably Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here.
Cool.
Yeah, my parents had the Beach Boys and the Beatles and the Don McLean album, but the Pink Floyd one was in a drawer. They never listened to it, but I loved it.
Are you a cat person or a dog person?
I'm a dog person.
Awesome.
Okay, if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would that be?
Cats.
Well, last question. Favorite Taylor Swift song?
Ooh, it's a tricky one.
Don't worry, no matter what, you'll get people angry with you.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't want to say. I don't want to get people angry with me.
What's one you've been enjoying recently?
Well, I enjoy the single at the moment. It's quite, is there the one that I would call it Trouble? Am I calling it the wrong title or not?
The new single?
No, the one from...
I Knew You Were Trouble? Trouble?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic song.
I would put that as my top Taylor Swift song of the moment.
Old. Of the moment.
But you know what? New album coming out.
That's right.
So many possibilities. Well, thank you so much. This has been so great.
James, it's been a pleasure, really.
Thanks so much for having me.
So again, I cannot state this enough. I am just so incredibly grateful that James was able to take time out of the tour and just be able to talk to us backstage. Truly amazing.
And I know his European tour is going to be extremely successful. I'm definitely interested to see what new music he comes out with since, as he said, he's working with such a diverse group of collaborators.
And if you enjoyed this episode, of course, like we stated earlier, we're going to have more people from Taylor's playlist. So if you enjoyed it, stay tuned. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and rating. That will bring you all of our latest episodes. We're going to have a lot of great stuff in the coming weeks. Not to mention, it helps other people find our show easier.
And we're just 1 month away from Reputation, so I have a feeling our most exciting episodes are just around the corner.
So, for episode 226, this has been Nate.
And Ashley.
And we will see you next week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Later.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.